Karma.
All good and great religions talk about the law of karma. If not, why would they preach and ask us to be kind if our actions had no consequences? That is why the laws of karma and reincarnation are mentioned in all the great religions. Sometimes it is more clearly explained. Other times it is implied. Our laws have been created to protect the order of society, and there are also universal laws to look after the order and the well-being of all the creatures of the universe. We do not only live in a country, we are also citizens of the universe, and each nation is similar to a mansion. We must therefore know the universal laws, and if we respect them, they will protect us from experiencing lower levels of existence. Humans' laws are made by humans, but if we look from a transcendental view, we see that they're also governed by another kind of invisible force. This invisible force is called in Sanskrit, karma, meaning the law of cause and effect. It is mentioned in the Bible as, "What you sow, so shall you reap." Galatians 6:7. There is good and bad karma, but both imply attachment for you on earth. After initiation, the karma from past lives will be erased, but the master does not touch the karma from this life. If not, you would die immediately. We must stay here for a while to bless the world and to help our friends. Afterward, we can go to heaven and return whenever, if this is our wish. Karma is an invisible force, very fair and strong. What we have created will come back to us. This is the law of cause and effect. We have karma because we have this computer, the mind, the brain, which is meant to record every experience of this physical world. That is why we have it. Bad or good, we register it in here. That is what we call karma. What is karma? Just the experiences, bad or good, our reactions, our learning experiences in many lifetimes. And because we have a kind of so-called conscience, we know we should be good, but sometimes we do bad. The bad things weigh down on us, just like a lot of garbage or luggage. Because of the law of gravity, it pulls us down and makes it difficult for us to climb the mountain. Because of a lot of moral disciplines in this world, lots of rules, lots of habits of different nations, bind us within these so-called conceptions of good and bad, guilt and innocence. Therefore, we interact with people of this world, and we have experiences of good and bad, guilt and innocence, according to the customs and habits of that nation, the laws of that nation. Understand? It becomes a habit that we think that way, that we do this, that we are guilty, we do that, we are a bad person, etc. And this is all recorded in here. That is what makes us transmigrate and makes us bound into this physical world or a slightly higher world. We are not free enough, light enough, to float above. It is because of all these concepts and misconceptions.
Question.
Master, you talked about what you call providence. Some of us could use the word fate for that, although providence seems to have a more spiritual ring to it. What about free will?
Master.
That is the choice before our physical birth and during our physical birth. But after death, we can't choose unless we have merits which we accumulate during this life. For example, before we are born into this world, we have the choice to be a certain kind of person. But then when we come here, we shift that according to the situation and the persuasion of society. Then we lose the free will as well. We think that we are free, but we are not.
Question.
So, the true free will, the true choice, the real choice, comes before we even come in. Then we are behind veils or Maya, and we do not remember the agreement. Would you call it the contract?
Master.
Right. The covenant with God, with our own conscience.
Question.
You spoke earlier about karma. Do we have control over what we want to be in our next life, or will someone tell us what it will be?
Master.
No one will tell you what it will be. because it is your own actions and the fruits thereof that will determine what you will be in your next life. If you want to control your next incarnation, you must have the wisdom to find your own path and regain your own greatest strength. Then you will be able to have control, but now you are too weak.
Question.
Can we reduce our karma by praying?
Master.
Yes, we can, if we are sincere enough. Because a very sincere and deep prayer is a kind of meditation. We are in a meditative mood, therefore, it reaches the deepest recesses of our grace, our merit, and our storehouse of blessings, and it has an affect, it cleans. Only when we are truly sincere and deeply longing for forgiveness, then it helps.
Question.
Could we distribute our karma over several lives so we suffer less each time?
Master.
Yes, you can do that, but you will suffer more. I will tell you why. Because each life we have karma already, and if you add the karma of this life, you'll suffer more only. Each life you have enough karma even to spare, to suffer, and if you add this life's karma, I think that you will suffer, more and not less.
Question.
Do the sins of the Father follow the Son?
Master.
To some degree, yes. We call this collective karma. It means the collective retribution within the family. On top of that, each one has his or her individual collective bad deeds, or good results from good deeds. Karma means both good and bad actions, and good and bad results, not only bad ones. Most people use it in a negative sense.
Question.
Dear Master, please explain what kind of karma it is for there to be dictators who caused wars that killed millions of people and made millions of others suffer.
Master.
That is the collective karma of humankind, which, as I told you, is the byproduct of the interrelationship between humans and other beings in this world or other worlds. And those kinds of byproducts became a kind of very forceful, strong energy hanging around our Earth's atmosphere. And when it is too condensed, then it has to manifest into something visible, such as a very great dictator who kills millions, etc. So therefore, these people are not to be blamed, in a sense. But we ourselves are to blame. If each one of us had led a life of virtue, keeping the commandments, and refraining from killing of any kind, including indirect killing, by keeping the vegan diet, then the world would never have bred these kinds of dictators in the first place. There are these terrible experiences to remind us of the virtuous way, and if we are not awakened yet, then these things will continue to remind us until the whole of humankind is awakened.
Question.
Could you address the issue of karma? How we dissolve our previous karmic debts, and how this relates to enlightenment?
Master.
Karma is a Sanskrit term for the law of as you sow, so shall you reap, which is the law of the lower universe. When the master gives you initiation, he pulls you up further. Therefore, the karma downstairs can be burned and does not affect you. He just leaves a little bit for you to carry on this life, which is already smoothed out and lubricated by the master's power. After initiation, you have no more stored karma, so you don't have to be reborn again if you don't want to. If you want to be reborn again, it is very easy. We can create karma, or we can borrow it from many sentient beings to come down. Initiation is the destroying of all karma in the past, leaving no more opportunity for the beings to come back in the future.